The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Give us feedback on this podcast or ask tech questions by calling the voicemail hotline at 877-414-5856. That's 877-414-5856 to get your questions answered.
But at least the music came through, and we were just discussing that, and I think he's still doing those soundtracks for people, for podcasts. Seems like it's
Dave, what's Dave's last name? His first name is Dave.
You would corner me on this. You would, wouldn't you? Here, I know what I'll do. I'll go to my favorite search engine. Da-da-da-da, and wait.
Would that be MSN Search?
Well, it depends on the day.
Who bought the pizza?
It depends on who has you at number one.
It's actually
listings.
Pizza from Redmond, so you know I couldn't find it in MSN Search. Let's see here.
Actually, no, that works now.
Yeah, I know it does. Perillo Show theme, and I'm sure the people in the chat room will be able to tell me. It says, "Oh, is the stream not up, or is it? It should be up.
It better be up."
There we go. Dave. Dave Ryder, that's it.
Dave Ryder.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, because I keep thinking, like, at first it was, I kept thinking he was Mitch Ryder because of the...
Mitch Ryder?
Mitch Ryder, he's a semi-famous, like, musician from the 70s.
I don't understand this writer of whom you speak. But I searched for, real quickly, Perillo Show theme. And that
worked?
The first one came up. Our new show theme was actually what we used in the subject line. So certainly that was exciting. And speaking of exciting, you brought your son over. But he's not actually going to sit with us, is he? Yeah, we're going to have to pull him on. Can we get Wyatt on the show?
We can try.
I don't know if the headphones will fit on him or if they won't.
Well, we'll have to see how the night goes.
I want to get the story from his mouth, you know, how life is with you, with Dad.
Yeah. Well, right now it's not going to be good because he wants his mom to come back from Hawaii. So
what's his mom doing in Hawaii?
She's competing in the Knowledge Bowl for
the cookathon.
Yeah. Well, it's not cooking though. She's not competing on like the Iron Chef thing. It's like the culinary. Right.
I think I've got it might be a geeky tip, but I don't know. Like, you know how you read the magazines, Real Simple, the magazine? You know, it's about that thick.
Yeah. My wife's favorite magazine.
Oh, yeah, Ponzi's got she's got it in the bathroom, so I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I'm never going to use that. Well, I ordered pizza tonight, and I wanted it delivered, like, right at 6 o'clock, but it came a little earlier before Jeff and you got here. And so I was like, well, how am I going to keep it warm? And so I was like, oh, I'll put it in the oven. And it's like, well, that's probably going to keep it warm. But then I put it on preheat for, like, 5-10 seconds and then turned it off, and it kept it completely warm. Like, it feels, like, fresh right out of the oven. I mean, it tastes fresh right out of the oven.
Don't they have those instructions on the box for keeping it warm?
Do they?
They use
something to get the box.
I never... Who reads a pizza box? I mean, honestly.
They must think you read the pizza box
because
they put coupons on the outside.
I don't know. There are certain directions that I read and certain directions that I don't read. When it comes to food, unless I'm, like, actually preparing it,
I'm going to go get the box and find out because I'm pretty sure there's instructions on the box.
There's actually instruction on shampoo bottle.
Yo, I've seen that. Rinse, lather, repeat. Or rinse again. Then
or those little white things that says "don't eat" in the potato chip bag.
Oh yeah, the they come in the beef jerky.
Yeah, the
packets.
Beef jerky things. Oh, driving down the road, eating a bag of beef jerky, totally pitch black, chewing it up.
Oh my god, dude! You actually ate one?
Yeah.
How was it?
Awful.
It should have been.
So the official Pizza Hut instructions are recommended reheating instructions.
No, that's reheating though.
Yeah,
not actually
reheating means that you brought the pizza from the cooked zone.
Here, Jeff, put your microphone down a little closer to your mouth. There you go. Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's a little better. Does it?
That's just reheating.
But that's just reheating. It's not like there's no instructions that say what to do in case the pizza arrives early and your friends aren't here yet. There's nothing on there.
That's still reheating.
No, it's not. Reheating is like when it gets cold.
Reheating would mean that it's been heated once before, which was when Pizza Hut cooked
No, but it was still hot. I wanted to keep it hot.
If you're not completely satisfied with your pizza, let our restaurant know within 24 hours. We'll make it right and refund you. How many times do you think you can pull that off?
Probably about 2 per store, unless they start flagging you. I don't think it's a universal registration system. At least it wasn't when I worked there.
The online ordering is universal.
Oh, yeah. So. In fact, don't pull up the online ordering ever, because now Queen Latifah's voice just instantaneously just like pops right in. It's insane.
What if you like Queen Latifah's voice?
Well, then just go to pizzahut.com, I'd imagine. But that just like totally freaked me out, because I recently plugged my sound card back into the speakers because I needed to hear something over the speakers.
You need to hear how bad your sound card sounds?
Yeah, it sucked. Well, actually, it's funny because the popping that I get on my sound card now, we can get rid of this. the here, just shove it up there. Maybe not. No, the popping that my sound card makes actually fit in with what I was recording last night for Bubbleshare.com, which is a photo sharing site.
You wanted the sound of
They sent me bubble wrap and everything, and I was like, God, this sounds like crap. And I'm like, well, it kind of sounds like bubbles popping and kind of fits in with the whole motif of bubble wrapping. And
you could get a new sound card for not that.
I'm this close to getting a new computer, and I think I've got it completely configured too.
Or you could take the sound card out of this machine that we never turn on.
Oh, that's true. I could do that, couldn't I? That would be too simple though.
Yes.
That would be way too simple. I don't even know if it's the same. Well, could I use the same connector for the front loading jacks?
Is it an Audigy 2? Are they both Audigy 2s?
I'm pretty sure they're Audigy series. I can tell you which particular Audigy.
The thing is, since you don't know which piece of the sound card is bad, you'd be better off just to swap the whole thing out.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Well, I think if I remember correctly, I tried plugging it back into the rear of it, and it didn't really work. So here's the computer that I've configured for possibly my next computer.
Is this that $10,000 system?
No, it's getting there. Well, consider this. The computer I've gotten there, I built 3 or 4 years ago. I had some of the parts already. I got some new parts. Some parts were sent to me. So it cost maybe about $1,000 to manufacture. That was 3 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago. So, you know, I'm not buying this every year. This system is here for the next 3 or 4 years.
It's like buying a home.
Well, yeah. Well, especially in Seattle, yeah. Although the prices are coming down, we've discovered. So I'm working on Falcon Northwest because I figure they use quality components. They put everything together right, and people recommend them. I'm all about that. I don't want to go through a Dell. I don't think I want an Alienware. I want to go with a system that I can really.
I still want to know about the quality components thing because, I mean, for the most part, PC components are Kleenex.
I disagree. I completely disagree. Completely and utterly.
So you're
disagree.
Not going out to Fry's and standing
no,
in the
no. I'll do all my research online, find out the best components that people seem to be talking about. The only thing that's iffy, well, as I go down the list, it's an Icon chassis, which is not that big a deal. A 600-watt modular power supply. So 600 watts, I can run this whole house on 600 watts, right? XP, obviously.
Probably not.
And Asus 8, A8N SLI. So it can do the dual video cards at some point. Although I'm not probably going to be starting with dual video cards, and I think
you got to go dual monitors.
Well, I've got dual monitors, but
you're
not
do
two
the,
cards.
Yeah.
Well, the SLI, yeah. So and I was thinking about an Athlon. I am thinking about going AMD 4800 plus dual core. So it does 64 bit at some point when I have a 64 bit OS installed. I'm not going to go with the Windows 64 bit at this point though. I'll wait till Vista. But I am going back and forth between that and possibly the X2, which I realize is kind of overpriced for the performance that you get. But you know, hey, having the fastest machine on the block, you're buying it. You know, might as well get it. So Corsair for the RAM. I think I'm going with the 3500LL because I'm going to get on the case, you can get this clear see-through.
I was
and
just going to ask
cathode,
you,
and then
what is the case mod?
Well, on here, they just they can do multiple things. They can paint it, or they will actually have a window in the side of it.
You need the window side of it like a Prillo head.
See, that would cost about as much as the computer to get something done like
we
that.
We could do that. My dad's a TV repairman. He's got an
oh, so he can Dremel a gnome
yeah.
head in there.
Yeah.
Maybe what I might do is we've got a window sticker that I may actually have it clear and then just put a white window sticker over it. Which is it's a hack, but
yeah,
you know
it'll work.
It'll work. But it's like a blue cathode, and this particular RAM on Corsair, it actually shows you how much RAM is being used and whatnot
cool.
on the actual RAM itself. I'm thinking, originally I wanted to get an ATI, like a 1900 Crossfire, or an XT, although I have to wait, I guess, for the 580 chipset is what I was told. But someone's convinced me that I should go NVIDIA, even though I'm still a little leery about NVIDIA right now. The motherboard, though, is on an NVIDIA chipset, the NVIDIA, or the Enforce 4, and some people have been complaining about it, and that's got me a little concerned, because up until now, I've been an Intel guy, but Intel has been making so many mistakes in the past year that I'm really, really concerned. Truly concerned. I mean, they're really not going to have a good processor that's a true dual-core processor for another 3 to 6 months. Or maybe even another year before
right.
it becomes, something that I'd want to upgrade to. So, I'm going that route. RAID 0. The dual drives, I'm getting WD Raptors, 150 gigabytes, 10,000 RPM. And then I'm going to have a separate Seagate 400 gigabyte. That's just 7200, but that's mostly for my documents and the pictures and all that.
But why not set up more of a home server? You know?
You mean for sharing pictures
and
stuff?
Yeah, you know, you're going with a RAID array. Why aren't you, setting up that more as a home server and then having, my whole thing is now that we all have laptops. We use those predominantly in our house. And we have one server that's hidden up in the top of the closet. It's a media center.
Yeah.
And it runs headless. And we have all our music on that, all our photos on it. And get our documents on it as well, too. And redirect your My Documents to that. And then have the RAID array for that. It just seems overkill.
Not with the amount of editing that I've been doing lately. Honestly, yeah. I've felt the crunch when I've been trying to transcode video or audio.
Okay.
It just seems to take, all that much longer. And even those small seconds of performance is like, wow, the difference between this and this is 6 seconds, which in the grand scheme of things, not big a deal, but, 6 seconds, that's 6 seconds.
So I think
that adds up.
That's important. What's the primary usage of the machine for you?
Certainly. And largely, it's mostly desktop production.
Okay.
Everything I'm doing on the desktop, certainly that's like where I'm sitting. So in knowing that I could get this for this price or that for that price, I'm just opting to go this route and seeing what happens. Although I have been considering getting like an external 400 gigabyte drive as a network store.
There you go.
So I to put like, because we've got a media center, but the problem is with the media center is that it records files at like 10 gigabytes.
Yep.
And like I need it compressed and not taking up that much space.
I know Seagate, which just bought
Seagate,
Maxtor.
Yep.
Also bought that network storage company. I'm drawing a blank on the name now. Now that I'm interrupting the
Thanks,
conversation,
Jake. Really appreciate
it. No, it's like it's not. I want to say it's Mefedia, but that's like one of those. That's
RSS
one of those video
things,
sites.
Yeah.
But it's something like Medio or Robert was raving about them for a while.
Mira.
There we go. Mira.
Okay. Mira.
They just got bought by Seagate as well.
Oh,
and in theory, according to a PR flack at Seagate, that might mean the price will come down because then you're not having like all of the various levels of overhead added on
before
you get to market.
Yeah.
So
that may be interesting.
That might be an interesting option.
To get to offload, because 400 gigabytes, you can store a lot of photos on there and some small amount of videos. I mean, Ponzi's only got, I don't even know, like a 60 gigabyte drive, and she's already kind of tapping out. She's got a few.
Yeah.
But as they increase, like right now, we've got three systems, it seems, with media. Like, I've got my media on one machine. I got that copied over to another machine, which is the media center.
Yep.
And then Ponzi has hers on her machine. So I'm trying to figure out the best solution for that media server. And I just assume have it be, like, a networked drive.
See, there's a media server, and then there's, like, all your documents and your money files and all that.
Yeah.
And I have seriously thought about putting a little SharePoint in my house.
I'd be a little concerned, but I don't know. I've never really played with SharePoint all that much.
Yeah, we have like a million of them at work kind of thing, and it's like disposable space for creating quick little things, and just having some little web interface. My wife's not, I don't know where Ponzi's on the technical level.
Like
but
probably about the same level as Lori.
Yeah.
It's Lori, right?
Yeah. Well, Lori uses Firefox on her Mac and the performancing plugin for her WordPress blog, but I had a little bit to do with that. But I seriously wouldn't mind setting up a little SharePoint, one place to have the docs so it's not like, oh my gosh, if she ever loses them.
Yeah, that's our concern too. I usually have copies of like the most important things, on one to another to another to another. That kind of redundancy.
Yeah, she uses a USB stick. She's
it
got
works.
She backs
Very
up,
basic.
She backs up to a USB stick and but every 6 months it gets busted and have to throw a new one in. So.
Well, we've got, I'm looking now, I think, for a separate, like I said, a media server that is going to be able to take, we're going to be able to copy all the files. My only issue is the external hard drives. The last one I had just was kind of flaky. Didn't really, it started causing, it's Western Digital, known brand and everything, but it was just kind of, it started giving errors, spitting back errors, and I didn't know if it was because of the connection to the computer, if it was not shutting down right, if it wasn't connecting right or whatnot. But chances are the network server would work and operate differently. I've got a gigabit switch. I went out and got that after having so many headaches. You can get Linksys makes a gigabit switch now, for about, I think it was a little over $100, but I needed to get a switch anyway. I was like, 8-port regular like I already have, or do I go and get gigabit now so that as, like, this machine, this laptop has gigabit? I think those two PCs have gigabit. I believe. They're starting to come standard with PCs. I know Ponzi's doesn't have it. Mine doesn't have it. But I figured next generation, it's better to have something that's a gigabit, than just having something that's only 100 megabits per second. So, so I'm thinking about trying one of those for offloading all of our media. It's trying to train Ponzi to doing it, And anytime I throw something like a wrench in the works that makes it a slightly more difficult for her, possibly, mm-hmm. she's going
to
forget it.
Okay, the training part shouldn't have to happen because it should just be it should be transparent. You just remap the path.
So. Well, the problem is that I would rather have her my documents, which she organizes differently, separate from my documents.
Yeah, but
things
like,
on the server.
She's like,
well,
my documents.
Like I said, I don't know which kind of server. I mean, I don't know if it's just going to be just like a hard drive, or if it's actually going to like be a media center where it's got like browsability for.
No. You set it up, and then your my documents you just redirect.
Yeah,
right
well,
servers,
yeah, I'd
right?
assume. Yeah, I'd assume that, but like. I don't know if I want the media server to actually be like have a browser on it or.
See where I get stuck is the media center is like I think I'm going to have to build a new media center at some point in time here when cable card really starts happening.
Yeah.
Because right now I've got the Comcast DVR. Mm-hmm. I can't get it do anything with the media. I can't take it with me.
Yep.
I've got a 360 and I want to stream to HD.
Yeah. You can't do it.
And I'm just like ah.
It sucks.
It sucks.
It
so,
totally sucks.
You know, in my mind is the next big one for me is going to be a media center PC with cable card.
Yep.
And the 360 is really pulling it all full circle for me. It's finally making it really useful.
Well, do you have Do you have like a home network, like Ethernet, like connection?
Yes, I do.
5E, I'd assume. Or
yeah.
Oh, so you're ready for gigabit then?
Yeah.
We don't have that here. But we are moving and we're looking.
But
and,
you have
and, like,
pouring
that's
water.
Like, yeah, it's a feature here. We get water that
where
comes
are you
in
moving
through this
to?
Window. We don't know. We've kind of cast the net wide. We went searching for houses like online.
Come where and, move where there's no soul on the east side.
Before there's no soul,
where,
or where
there is
no
soul.
Yes. Well, we've been looking in Kirkland. We've found a few homes that seem to suit what we're looking for in a house.
What does that mean? Seawater?
No. Well, she would rather. But we were noticing that prices have come down since last we looked. And I've noticed a couple of the houses that we thought were kind of, you know, well, this might be interesting to look at.
It's because everybody's house is leaking.
Yeah, probably. No, they're coming down. Like in the past month, they've come down like by 30,000.
Wow,
I mean, pretty substantial. Which is kind of a drop in the bucket when you're talking about Seattle real estate, because you know $30,000. Oh yeah, that's like a penny.
That's
you know,
like a drop in Google stock for a day.
So it's nothing in the grand scheme of things, but it's still showing a trend in the market that it's actually you know possibly coming close to steadying out. So hopefully we'll be able to.
As a homeowner, I don't like hearing that, but.
What? Well, I'm sorry. Well, your value should be okay, as long as you're not planning on selling anytime soon, because it seems we've got houses in around this area that have been up for sale from the day we've moved in, like
wow.
over a year ago. And they continue to go, you know, for sale, and there are very few around here that are on the market and then get taken off almost immediately.
This neighborhood's kind of a odd neighborhood, because there's like, it's like.
We're on the cusp.
It's very transitional, though, because I mean,
there's
the million-dollar houses, and then there's the $500,000 houses, and some of them are sitting right next to each other.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and in this market, $500,000 is a cheap house.
Yeah, it is. And many people
and having those two sit right next to each other, if you're looking at the million-dollar
yeah,
house being sitting out of the market, that's
well,
going to make
and
it
that's
sit
the funny.
Longer.
There was a house that we were looking at that had a great view of downtown Seattle, and we were going to say, well, yeah, let's put a bid on it, but there were some things that just weren't perfect about it, and we're spending so much money, or we would be spending so much money that we didn't want to spend even more money once we had something, and we were at that point with this house, and it eventually sold to somebody else, and then down the street, one of the other houses just went up for sale for about 150% more than the other house, and I don't whether it was warranted or not, I don't know, but this neighborhood is kind of that way. It's kind of off and on. So we're gonna go back into the market and see what's out there. And when it does, that's the first thing I ask. I was like, okay, so what's the networking like here? Well, you can wireless network. No good. I need wire. I need you know. And I'm sure we could get
can
it installed.
Can we get a T3 in here?
That'd be amazing. But I have been asking just out of curiosity. You know what kind of networking had been laid. Most of it's you know Cat 5. Some of it they will say Cat 5e, which is. Good. I'll go with Cat 5e because it should be good enough for gigabit.
But if you're really expecting 5e, you almost have to build your own house.
Well, not really. It has to be. It has to have been within the past year or two.
Yeah.
And then it'll. That's what we noticed.
Which you're practically building your own house at that point.
Yeah. Well, not really, but there's a few new houses that come up for the market. Sometimes if you catch them the right time, you can say, I'd like this configured, I'd like that configured. But when you go in there talking geeky talk, they're like,
it's wired for the future.
Yeah, that's right. Well, here's the phone jack. No, that doesn't work. That's not high speed. No. Well, you can get, no, that doesn't count.
That's my horror story when traveling, when they go, I said, it has high speed, right? Yes, we have the plug-in in the phone.
Right.
No.
Well, now you're lucky enough to be able to find a wireless port or a wireless point somewhere in and around the area, usually. But it never used to be that way.
When Scoble and my team went down to interview the Target Racing team, the internet at the hotel was so flaky that just us getting online basically took out the whole capacity of it.
Dear God. What, did someone have a virus?
No.
That's usually what happens. And then
it was just their capacity was just like horrible.
Horrible?
Horrible.
That bad.
Of course, the hotel could have had a virus.
Yeah, or somebody else may have had one, yeah.
I really wouldn't be surprised. The only thing I was missing when I was trying to connect to the last hotel is like, well, it's not working. The cable's broken. I need it fixed. And the guy came up and said, well, here's the reason why. I mean, this is broken, but there was no cable that was actually connecting the cable that I needed to use to the wall.
Have you seen what they charge for cables in the minibar sometime?
No.
I was at a hotel and I didn't
have... They have cables in the minibar?
I was at a hotel in Chicago and I forgot my cable. And I phoned down, hey, do you got an extra cable? Well, sir, we have them in the minibar. And I'm like, oh, great. I open it up. $25 for a 4-foot patch cord.
That's got to be...
Whoa,
that's gotta
4
be either
foot?
That's got to be the W.
Wow. Yeah, but W is just as bad. They sell you $40 cheese sandwiches. Good cheese sandwich, but I don't know if it's worth $40.
Do you remember the W's got that anything, anytime, or anything?
Yeah, yeah,
anywhere.
Anything, yeah, yeah.
I phoned them at 2 in the morning. I need a new PCMC A card. Can you get me one? I was going to New Orleans a couple years ago, and I had a demo the next morning at 9 a.m., and I wanted to rehearse my demo, and so I got in about midnight, and I didn't have my networking card. And so I phoned down, hey, it's anything, anytime. And it's like, no, it's not anything, anytime. They could have got me the PCMC A card the next day, but that would have been too late.
Yeah, yeah. There's no real computer store that's open 24 hours a day.
No.
Do you think that would be a market?
Walmart is actually almost there for very basic stuff because they actually have...
Yeah, for basic stuff.
But no, they actually have enough components.
Yeah, that's where we got the PS2 mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go, Walmart.
So Walmart is almost there.
Huh. Where's Walmart?
Closest one here, Renton.
Okay.
Renton or Linwood.
We never go up there.
There's like Super Walmart up there. Yeah, it's like bigger than Walmart.
But those are the only two. One. Those are the only two WalMarts on this side.
There's
of
one
the
in
lake.
Redmond, I think. Well, yeah,
no,
this
there's not
the
one
lake.
In Redmond.
There isn't.
No, there's
there
a Fred Meyer there.
There's one further out, I think, further out east.
I don't know. I generally speaking do not buy my electronics at Walmart. Generally speaking.
Yeah, but if you need it in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. Remember, we ran down to get the mouse.
We did.
Remember.
We did, but I mean, like, if you need it in the middle of the night, you're sort of limited to Walmart, or well, I'll wait till tomorrow.
Unless it's Thanksgiving Day. Jake thought he heard something that Walmart was open on Thanksgiving Day.
When they have not,
hey, let me finish the story. You don't get to defend yourself until I'm done. So we got the Xbox 360. We hooked it up. I said, well, now we need, you know, see if they have any games. What did we need? Games or something
games.
Like that?
We didn't have any games.
Well, we didn't have it connected or whatever, but we could have, of course, bought. We did buy, eventually, the Geometry Wars. So we went driving down. It was me, Jake, and Brad Wilson. Drive down there. It's Thanksgiving Day, and it's closed. And, of course, it's, like, so far away.
And it's, like, yeah, forever away.
Traditionally, they've been open.
So that's Jake's defense.
So defend yourself?
No,
that was it.
Traditionally, Walmart, until this year, has been open.
And when did you become a connoisseur and expert of Walmart?
When he lived in Iowa.
When I lived in Iowa, and I would remember that I needed stuff at, you know, about 1 in the morning, and it was
and then it would
10
pop
minutes
up.
From my house.
I grew up in a very small town in Canada, and we had a Walmart. And the first McDonald's that we got was inside the Walmart. We never had the closest McDonald's was like an hour drive away. And the number one, the record for McDonald's in service or whatever in sales that year was the inside Walmart McDonald's in my little hometown. They were like lined up all the way down. Yeah, people didn't have much of a...
Dear
much
God.
Yeah, it was pretty
Where was this at?
Estevan, Saskatchewan.
Probably like Iowa, most likely.
We know the McDonald's that's right at that off-ramp by Adventureland.
Yep. And of course, you're referring to Altoona, Iowa.
In Altoona, Iowa, where Chris and I both grew up, that was the first interstate McDonald's, like interstate stop-style McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah.
That I did not know.
Yeah.
Interesting. And, of course, you can go to McDonald's for Wi-Fi, too.
Yeah, McDonald's has like good Wi-Fi. I go there with my little girl. We take her there and play in Toyland, and I think I had to pay for it. Don't you get it like for free with a Happy Meal or something?
Is it a wait? Really? I thought if you get it free with a Happy Meal, really?
I heard something like that. I don't. Somebody
that's news
to
me because Ponzi got some stupid strawberry shortcake.
Josie gets those things all the time.
Is that where
it comes
with Darth shortcake?
It comes with like lip gloss.
Does it?
You take off the head on it, and Josie comes and goes, hey, what's in lip gloss, Dad?
What? Really?
Yeah, one of them, one she got the week before last, had lip gloss in it.
Here, I'll go get it.
Let's hack a strawberry shortcake here. It's sitting on her desk. She was trying to take a picture of me holding it, and I was just like tearing it apart. Yeah, she's like, be nice.
Josie got the one with the wheelbarrow this week, but the week before that had its head. She pulled its head off, and it's got. So it's like kind of disturbing when you think of it. You pull her head off, and you're sticking your finger in the brains
kind of like a Pez, you know? Like, oh, they're in the neck. There's candy.
But you pull it off, and you're this gushy stuff in the top of the head. So it's like you're rubbing brains on your head.
I don't know about McDonald's lip gloss. That's a little – or lip balm or whatever it would be.
Well, they really went downhill about 3 weeks ago with their Happy Meals. They had
– as opposed to years ago. No, it doesn't pop off. She just doesn't want me to pop off.
No. She had already thrown it in the trash.
Oh, thank God.
And I looked at it. There's no way there is lip gloss in that head.
Okay, yeah.
So it's a different one. Are you sure?
It's a different head.
I'm positive because the
neck. The neck is about that thin. Okay. About as thin as a pencil.
No, she had one with lip gloss on it. But a few weeks ago, they had basically get rid of all their crap toys at McDonald's. It was like you get two.
The clearinghouse.
It was the clearinghouse. Yeah. And like we'd go up there and Josie goes, I don't want the basketball player. You never knew what you got.
Yeah.
She goes, they don't know. Can you? And we pull up there and she goes, my little girl's like six. She goes, can you tell them I want a girl toy? It's like, you know, the last thing you really want to do is annoy the person because they'll spit on your food.
Exactly. That would concern me. Although I thought, you know, going to conferences, they usually give you like little meals, like, you know, box meals. Why don't adults get like toys? You know, like, oh, dude, it's a patch cable. This is great. Oh, look, it's a key fob.
They were doing that at McDonald's.
Adult
a couple
Happy
years
Meals?
Ago, they had adult Happy Meals, and they were like fitness related. Like, where
you
got like a pedometer.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was short.
That lasted like
a
week.
Yeah, because they weren't fun. They weren't like, oh, dude,
but
I can
buy
really
a salad
use this.
To get it. So.
Yeah, so that's what it is like.
That's the curve. And even the salad is like loaded with sugar.
So what would be in an adult Happy Meal for toys?
Well, I think it would have to be. Something useful, you know, so something like that we use around the house. Actually, I think computer components, everybody has a computer. Everybody could use a computer component.
Like a
16 megabyte, 16 megabyte USB key.
Do you think
anybody could
how
use
much
that.
Is a 16 megabyte USB key?
Oh, nothing. Pennies on the dollar. It's got to be cheap.
Not cheaper than those toys.
Those toys are.
Well, if you manufacture it in China or something, I don't know.
That's where all memory comes from.
All right, fine. So an 8 megabyte key, 1 megabyte key. There you go.
Okay, so that's USB key, cool.
So, I mean, something like that would be just.
Maybe a keyboard vacuum.
That doesn't work.
Oh, did you try it?
Yeah, we tried it. It sucks.
I haven't even taken mine out of the
literally.
Box.
Literally. So it's a USB keyboard vacuum, and it's just.
If it sucks, that means it's good.
No, I mean, it literally. Inhales with great force, as in it's bad, it's nasty, it's no good. So that's it. Yeah, Ponzi tried it. She thought it was wonderful, and then it just she ran the Roomba tonight though. Roomba went around. She was getting frustrated because it wasn't picking up like large chunks. I'm like, it's a Roomba, babe. It's not like, you know, this isn't Goliath that's trying to like pick up, you know, baseballs or anything. It just picks up small objects, dirt, dust, and those kind of things.
They're really good for doing area rugs though.
Oh yeah,
you know, if you want to do like a little focused area.
Yeah, we run it out because our Persian rug out here always gets seems to catch everything that walks on it, like the dogs, and it did it just fine. As you can just tell where it went, it makes it tracks and everything.
Filtron combined his one with a tablet PC.
Yep.
To make a robot. That was about a couple years ago, I think.
Yeah, it was, and then someone else did something. Well, they didn't do it with a Roomba, I think, but they did something with a tablet PC, the podcast bot. I think
He was
at Gnomedex.
Yeah,
stuff.
Gnomedex, but yeah. I can't remember exactly. It was like, it did record
it. It went
things.
Around and took webcam shots.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Interesting. And I guess proof of concept, you know. They may sell next year. RoboSapien 3, you never know. Although that's one thing I think it's missing, but of course it increases in price every time they come up with
a the RoboSapien, somebody hacked it, took the head off of it, and put a pocket PC on it so that it had a bigger brain, like in terms of like in
the
a computer
speed.
Brain.
Yeah.
So you could actually write functions instead of having to use the remote. You could write functions for the pocket PC that it would send to the rest of the body.
Somewhat impressive. You know, I saw an interesting or genius move by Best Buy.
There you go, contradiction in terms. Sorry.
Oh, well, I apologize. I needed to pick up something. What was it? It was I was getting the Vonage replacement, the modem, and I was standing in line. It was a PAP. That's right. I got a PAP smear. And actually, it was a PAP 2 smear. And so I'm standing there waiting in line, and just right where you're waiting to actually go through the checkout, people were playing with a RoboSapien. They had actually taken a RoboSapien out of the box, and people were playing with them. I'm like, God, that's just smart. You know, let people, like, this toy that, you know, you walk by a million times, you wouldn't think about it, and you, all of a sudden you're like, there's nothing to do but stand in line, giving them something to do. You know, I mean, it's like the TVs they have, but it's like actually engaging them with like interesting things that are you know, happening right in front of them and playing with and engaging them. I thought that was incredibly smart. Now, if that was done on a the national level or was done on some idiot just didn't return it and you know it went haywire and you know likes to run into things randomly or it's a broken unit, I don't know. But it was still, I think, very smart. It gets people to actually try it instead of just walking by just a box that's sitting there. I can't imagine anybody's going to buy that unit, but I mean, it's just there to, you know, kind of fiddle around with. That's smart.
Yeah.
That's engaging. You know, and I don't think, I hadn't really seen anything like that before.
So did you play with it?
No, because I knew that a bunch of snot-nosed kids, you know, little babies, you know, putting the controller in their mouth and everything, and I wasn't into the whole, you know, I like my germs, and I want my germs to stay my germs, and I know my germs.
That's that whole avian flu thing that you're...
Yeah, kind of. I was concerned when Ponzi came home. She's fine now. I mean, she was sick when she was over there, but it was like more of a kind of a chest cold than anything else.
There's been something going around. I think I was sick for about like 8 weeks.
8 weeks?
Well, I'm exaggerating. I always do that. But, oh, I just could not get... Every time I'd go away, then somebody would come to my office. Achoo!
Bam.
Nice to see you. I'm like... Mm.
You know, they say keeping that hand mookie on your desk apparently cuts down your ability of getting sick.
I've got that little jar, bottle of that stuff.
Yeah.
Does
it not?
We really
ought
to adopt a culture where we stop shaking hands with everybody because that would transmit a lot.
What if we just rubbed elbows or something like that?
I was a little freaked out the other day when I saw somebody walking around my neighborhood with one of those little face masks on.
Really? So people are doing that in public now?
Yeah.
They hand those out at the hospital if you're coughing.
I saw somebody walking their dog with a face mask on.
Could be allergic. Maybe you're lucky. It's not SARS.
In Japan, that's just customary, and they actually make like designer designer masks so that you can have like Hello Kitty on your
maybe it'll catch on, maybe it won't.
It cuts down on disease transmission.
Well, at least we're not like the French, you know, walking around kissing everything. That's a little freaky to me.
We're not like the French.
Yeah, that's the bottom line, you know. At least we're even worse.
You don't
actually
have a large French listening.
No, not really.
If we did, we don't anymore.
We don't anymore.
Now, hopefully, well, actually, it would probably double now. You know, he's just saying something about us frogs.
Bonjour.
No, actually, what would it be? What's goodbye?
Au revoir.
Well, hey, wait, you're from Canada. You're closer to the French culture.
You know, I used to do really good at French, but then that was like the ninth grade, and then I quit using it. I went on some French exchange trip. And I spent a month with a family in Quebec that didn't speak a word of English.
Really?
Yeah, I did really good about it, and then, you know, completely
just
forgot it.
Just kind of died?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That totally sucks.
Not bilingual anymore.
So, Jeff, so you work at the big
Borg.
800-pound gorilla. Well, I was going to say that now. I was going to say Borg. It was going to be nice. 800-pound gorilla.
The second most evil company in the country.
Yeah. Who's the number one evil company?
Google
of course.
Oh, okay. I can't
Google's
say
Google's evil now. It's the new thing. They're the new evil.
We're open. We're transparent. Yeah.
No, like your as Scoble says, you want your evil back.
Yeah, but I still. Speaking of transparent, I got a bone. I know it's not you, but I got a bone to pick with whoever decided to go with the blue boobs in Windows Vista. You seen these things? You know these things? They look like that in every application. What is someone loved Star Trek as a kid and loved the aliens. You know the blue aliens, the alien chicks that Kirk always made out with. I'm telling you, man, they're just. I can't look at those things without going, why? But at least they're not lopsided anymore. They used to be lopsided boobs. They used to be
actually,
one used to be
bigger
American than the other.
American Gladiator almost.
You know, compare that to the green button over here on this other XP machine that's not IE7. It's got a little bit of soul to it.
Is that?
The green
that's blue. IE7, isn't it?
Or that's IE6.
That's 6.
Oh, it's 6.
But
yeah,
these
are
like spaced apart more. They don't have
Not in every application. That's my big issue. It's like they took, well, let's use the backwards and forwards button we have in Internet Explorer, and let's put it in every single application, every single wizard, every single thing. And I've stepped through a few things going next, and I'm like, where's the back button? And like looked around for it forever. Where's the back button? Where's the back button? It's up here. To me, that was confusing, and I realized they probably brought like 5 people in for a study group, and like withheld all food like for 3 days, and said, "Okay, does this work?
Can't you just
tell us it works, and then we'll give you food. Yeah, it works. It's great. It's great. I swear to God, that's what they do.
Give me my free software.
Yeah, like give me. They'll do anything for a free T-shirt. Anybody will do anything for a free T-shirt.
I think they get free software though.
Who the people that go in to test things?
Yeah.
No wonder they like it.
That's why we end up with the crap that we end up with. I swear to God, some people just – that's how we ended up with the search dog in Windows XP. Oh, yeah, the search dog is very friendly. It's lovable.
Cute. That's because somebody still had a hard-on for Bob.
This is why I'm so concerned about what might happen with Windows Vista. I'm still so concerned. So incredibly concerned. And things keep getting bigger, too. They're not getting smaller. They're getting bigger. Like the play button, like in the preview, like for previewing a picture or playing a media, is this big. The play button on the screen is like this big. Gigantic.
Stop running at 640 by 480.
I'm running at like 1600 by 1200. It's
time
still
for
this
a widescreen display.
No, I don't want to buy a widescreen just to accommodate my media player. I'm serious. I think people are getting like more senile as people get older. I mean, obviously you can't. So this generation, they're now kind of saying, okay, well we're making things bigger for you.
Bill did turn 50 this year. Maybe that's
I'm telling
the
you, there is some kind of correlation between the way that the Windows GUI is getting like huge, gigantic, and the age of most of the population in America, because now our parents are, certainly pushing that, and well, we're going to be pushing that in another 2 years, so it'll be ready for us when it finally gets released. Woo!
Geeks
are
older.
So you work at the 800-pound gorilla, and not responsible for the Blue Booze, and if you were, I'd ask you why, but...
Did not have anything to do with the Blue
Arrows. I'm actually trying to get that meme into the culture so that when people start talking about it, they actually have something to call
it. So I actually like them.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they have
You loved Star Trek as a kid.
I don't know what it was, but I like them much better than the Green Arrows that you see right now. They've got some glass to it, some style. I mean...
Well, I like the glass interface, generally speaking. There are parts of it that I think are kind of wasted, but for the most part, I like the new look of Windows.
Okay.
For the most part, it's just there are certain things that kind of jump out at me.
Okay, this is not something I should ever see.
Yeah, what am I? This is
what
your bubble share video.
Play it. You got it. Is it patched into the audio on there?
If it is patched into the audio because it's on this computer.
All right, well, play. You can press the play button, and it'll actually explain what I'm doing. I don't know if it explains what I'm doing, but there's a mute button here. Hang on.
Well, I know it's muted, but how do I get back to the start of it automatically?
Yeah, go back. There you go. Oh, go forward. Okay. There you go. Now press play.
I love bubble wrap. I love it so much. I wear it with me wherever I go. Here I am, about ready to head out to pick up something to eat. I'm asking Ponzi if she wants anything, too. Oops. I dropped my keys.
And you can see this at chris.perillo.com under the Bubble Boy heading if you really, really are...
I use bubble
desperate
wrap.
To throw
it's
up.
So much better.
That's my bubble wrap wallet.
How much money you have?
Why isn't there more volume to this?
Because it sucks.
I used to eat my food on Glad wrap. You know the press and seal kind? It was horrible.
Okay, so that's
bubble,
enough of that.
So BubbleShare, basically, they're doing this contest. And they said, hey, Chris, I did that. I don't know what I did. I met Albert at CES, and he said, hey, if we send you, some bubble wrap, will you do some, funny things with it? I'm like, sure, I can do that. I said, but you got to send me a lot of bubble wrap. And so they did. They sent, like, a metric ton. And so I used it. And I did it. There were a couple others in there that were, like, incredibly funny, but Ponzi wouldn't let me use them. They weren't dirty. Well, I can't. She wouldn't let me use them. And I thought they were just the funniest thing.
Because the bubble wrap skirt where you're...
No, that was fine. She said, if you want to show it, I'm like, you can't see anything. You can't see anything with that bubble wrap. I've got it on so thick.
I like the strawberry shortcake with the...
The Darth
shortcake.
Darth shortcake. Yeah. I came home and Ponzi does it every once in a while. She put a little, like, some figurine up there amongst the Vaders. And then when I took a picture of it, I realized how dusty the shelf was.
Chris, if you really want to start the Blue Boobs meme, one of your tags should have actually been Blue Boobs.
Boobs
and blue.
Boobs. Oh, well, that's my problem then. But there are a lot more interesting boob stories out there than blue. So, okay, so you work at the 800-pound gorilla.
I work at Microsoft.
Microsoft, yes.
Have for about almost 9 years now.
Damn. That's almost as long as, that's about as long as I've been doing business online. So have you moved from division to division, or have you been largely in the same place?
For the most part, I've worked in evangelism the entire time. I started in PSS supporting some web stuff. Back in the earlier...
Boring stuff? Early, or?
Web stuff.
Okay. So web stuff. Okay.
Like active server pages back before, right when it first came out to the market. And shortly after that, went into evangelism.
Okay.
And have been there ever since.
Oh.
My team brings you websites like Channel 9.
Yeah.
MicrosoftGadgets.com. And a few things that we're going to be coming up with soon, but can't really talk about yet.
Uh-huh.
So we'll come back. We'll come back and talk about that.
You will revisit that at a future date then.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're Scoble's boss.
That I am Robert's boss.
So you're Robert Scoble. Okay. So is the hierarchy of things? Is it? Does it go Scoble, Jeff Sandquist, Bill Gates? Is that the general?
No,
missing some layers.
I'm not going to build up the org chart for you, but there's probably a few layers there in between.
I'm still trying to get my head around the difference between a product manager. Wait. Let me. Product manager and project manager. A product manager oversees everything.
No, there's program management.
A program manager.
And then there's product management.
Product manages the.
I think product management will work with customers, define requirements, and so forth. You know, the program management. If you go to my blog and say, "What is a program manager?" JeffSandquist.com. Mm-hmm. There is actually, Chris Sells wrote a pretty good definition of it. I think of what a program manager is, a person that's driving the project. They are doing they're like the lifeblood of the team that's building a product. They're helping making sure that everybody has what they need to write code, that the testers know what they're doing. Nobody works for them. There's no like reporting relationship.
Yeah.
They're kind of a Mother Teresa as well too, because they're kind of like, you know, making sure that everybody's happy.
Yeah.
What's the life, you know, how's the team doing and so forth. I did that role quite a bit and, you know, drove and shipped a lot of project. Like Channel 9 was a big part of my baby. We did that overall project in about 6 weeks. And
wait, 6 weeks from concept to launch?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How come Microsoft doesn't move that fast with like other things?
I think some things are inherently much more complex. I've built a lot of different communities at Microsoft. In fact, I always joke that I've been doing community at Microsoft before it was cool. Back in the early, you know, newsgroup days and working with MVP program and stuff.
Certainly.
I actually helped run some of the MVP program way back in the day. But building communities is, you got to get the software out there quick. You got to get the community out there. And then you have to iterate once the community is there. I think that's why Channel 9 was very successful. We launched it. When we launched it, it didn't look like any Microsoft site, and we iterated so quickly. I mean, I think day one we were shipping changes. Day two we were changing things based on what the community is. If you don't change based on the community, then why even have a community,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So totally. It's very different shipping community software.
Yeah. Well, I've only used tools to ship stuff. I've never actually built my own. You guys actually rolled Channel 9 together.
We took a code base called ASP.NET Forums. Mm-hmm. That was an internal project at that time that Rob Howard, who does Community Server, we took that, we forked the code, and then we built a layer on top of it. It really was kind of a funny thing. When we first did Channel 9, we started off in more of a blog format, mm-hmm. and it was very corporate. Actually, there's some original screenshots of what it was going to look like, and I'll post links to those on my blog when I get back home tonight. When we laid out the site and looked very corporate-y. Then we said, hey, this isn't cut it. And we said, screw it. What if we were building a community that we wanted to go to? And we go, oh, well, there'd be forums, and there'd be like a video blog, and we'd have the customers, we'd have the people that are involving right up front, and we'd have a moblog. And we said, okay, let's build it.
And that's how it
happened. We moved really quickly over the next couple of weeks, and we built the overall site. We didn't even know necessarily what was our type of video going. I mean, you know, if you look back to it 2 years now, April 15th this year will be our second anniversary. But if you look back at it now, you know, it all seems like, oh, they, you know, it's genius, and it was all, you know, a lot of people think, or some people think it was really smart, pulling all the different things together. But I think what we really struggled right in the beginning of, you know, what is our content going to be like? And I think the big moment I remember was Robert Scoble and Charles Troy went and interviewed Bill Hill. Bill Hill from he does the typography and so
forth.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I remember watching
Clear Text and so forth. And we were putting up the site, and we were getting ready to go live. And I think we were getting ready to go for an internal kind of beta to show people what we were doing. And Bryn Weibel, one of the devs, came running around, and he said, there's only one space after a period. There's only one spaces after a period. And I looked at him like he was kind of nuts. And he said, I got it. I know what our video content is. He says, you know, you aren't going to be able to get everybody at Microsoft to write a blog. But boy, if we could just get them, you know, there's a lot of smart people, if we can get them saying different things on video and snip those things off into their own individual blog entries, man, that'll be a powerful thing. So he opened up this Bill Hill video into Movie Maker, ripped it down to about a 5 or 6 minute bit, and put it up there. And that's when we first launched. They were much shorter videos, mm-hmm. and things like that. But when we launched it, we had no idea. We didn't do like the typical things that maybe happened when Microsoft launched sites in the past. We didn't do a West Coast press tour, an East Coast press tour, you know. week before we launched, I sent IMs to different people that are on my IM list, and I said, hey, can I show you this website that we're thinking about launching? And, you know, I didn't say, oh, where is this NDA or whatever. You know, showed them what we're going to do, and they're like, wow, you guys are really going to ship this? I don't think they really believed that it was going to go out. The next week, we launched the site. All of a sudden, people started coming online. It was those original, like, four or five people that were bloggers that we showed the site to. And people were on the site, and I started email. How'd you find out about it? Oh, a friend of mine IM'd me. And then the next day, I remember talking to our general manager that night. He said, hey, you know, I don't know how successful this thing's going to be. Don't be sad if nobody comes tomorrow. I think it's going to take you a lot of time. And all of a sudden, the next day I look, and there's like 75,000 people online. Wow. On the site at the same time. And we're on Slashdot, and there's news articles, and like reporters are calling, and we're like, holy cow.
That's huge.
And it was, you know, one of the most exciting times that I've been at Microsoft. And, you know, at that point in time, we're like, oh, I guess we better get more videos, because I think we had like three recorded. So we started recording a lot more videos, and we've, you know, I think it was like 500-600 videos now we've shipped to date. And
dear God.
It's been a lot of fun.
Now, did those videos ever make it past Channel 9 in any capacity?
I don't know what you
so
mean.
So, for instance, I've got an MSDN subscription. Do any Channel 9 videos actually creep into that?
Nope.
Why? Is it too not amateurish, but does someone need to teach Goble how to use an editing tool? Is that what it is?
No, I just think that there's a different type of audience for this stuff. I think that it's interesting when I interview people for my team, you know, or I'm doing interviews. I interview a lot of different people for different roles that are across our group, and I, you know, they come into my, they say, oh, Jeff Sandquist, and immediately they may know the loop or the people they're meeting with, so they go, oh, you've did the Channel 9 thing, and maybe they're interviewing for a job related to Indigo, which is a technical communication layer of the framework. Mm-hmm. You know, they find that they go to Channel 9 first when they search for it and get the technology to learn about it. I just think it's Channel 9 videos just on their own, that's not the whole picture. The whole picture of Channel 9 is the community itself. Right, you've got a video, they talk about different things, then people are replying and talking about it as a community, and then you actually got product team people replying as well too. So just having the video go off on an MSDN subscription, yeah, that's valuable, I think, but you got to pull it together with the community. Channel 9 is equally as much about the videos as the people that are there as well, participating as well too.
So how many people do you have participating today, on average, let's say?
Oh, geez. You know, it's over 2.5 million a month come in. I don't know. On a daily, it really depends on what kind of content we have. You know, we shipped that IE7 video the other day, and there were a lot of people. We did a Robert Fripp kind of Vista music thing where he's recording some stuff for Vista in the studio. That was very popular.
Oh, wow.
The Gnome Dex video. The IE RSS video, that to me was like the perfect Channel 9 video. When we do Channel 9, one of the things we say is we only do things that we want to delight our users. We've got a very simple doctrine. And that's, you know, if it's stuff that we like, we put it up there. Robert Scoble kind of jokes sometimes, well, there's certain rules of the videos. I don't want people to look at me and so forth. And he has these things he says to me. It's just like, is the video going to be cool?
Yeah. Bottom line.
And if you don't like it, then you move on to the next one. Yeah. We're trying some different things as well. We started doing shows this year. One thing we started doing was, women in technology. And that was all about, highlighting that Microsoft is more than just men behind, doing developers. It's people of all different roles, from vice presidents to developers that are women, and just really highlighting that, hey, there's many more people behind the company.
Do you ever get any marketers in there?
You know, you should use the search engine on Channel 9 for the word marketing, and you'll find that sometimes those videos aren't our most popular.
Interesting.
So sometimes they are on Channel 9, but we try and find the developers behind the products. We found that if you can find somebody who's excited about building the product, and when they say, hey, you know, I did this particular feature in a product, mm-hmm. they get genuinely excited. They talk in terms that, you know, Channel 9's audience is developers for the most part, and they get genuinely excited. It makes just great content. We look for those light bulb moments when people go, and then I did this, and then, you know, and they get very animated, and that's really a big part of what we're doing.
So what kind of reception have you had from Microsoft by doing this?
It's been amazing, all the way to the top.
That's true. Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting when Robert and I went over to interview Bill for his first Channel 9 interview. I remember afterwards just having a really nice conversation with him, and And we only had about 15 minutes to talk, and they made it very clear that, you guys, you only have 15 minutes to talk to Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
So we interviewed for 15 minutes, and we're like, okay, I guess we should go. And he said, oh, just a sec, I wanted to ask you a few questions. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, so how do you guys go about getting your content on the computer? And I said, well, we rip them with these little cheap cameras, and we use Movie Maker. And then we copy it up, and then we have somebody that'll put these on the streaming service for us and make sure the encoding's right. He goes, wow, you know, that is just so great that you guys are, you've gotten them obviously much bigger than you were, but you're still doing that same thing. And he was just so awesome. He said, you know, I just wanted to say thanks, guys, for, you know, not always the best is shown of our employees, you know, through, you know, different things in the media, but really showing that the people behind our products, you know, really care and
yeah.
so forth. So it's been amazing.
Have you seen any other companies out there kind of, not necessarily copy it, but do something similar to Channel 9?
I haven't. You know, I'd be interested if there were. I think companies are, you know, Microsoft, I think, has been the leader in some ways
they
around
really
blogging.
They have.
We get a lot of flack for a lot of things, but I think that we do deserve a little bit of credit around the blogging space.
Well,
just really trusting our employees to get out there and do that.
You've been the most prolific. And in fact, recently, just this week, Microsoft has revamped its rules for blogging. I don't know exactly what things have changed, but I know that there are a few points that had changed.
Really?
Yeah.
Those are the rules specific to MSN Spaces as it relates to the world.
Yeah, not around employee. We don't have employee blogging rules. You know, our unofficial creed is don't be stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Some people have been stupid, apparently.
No. I think those rules were about how we handled situations. There were some China things or pulling down content on MSN Spaces site, and I'm not a person.
No.
The big change that happened that you're referring to is that previously there was content on some MSN Spaces blogs from people inside of China that just summarily, if there was something objectionable to the Chinese government, the entire blog was taken down.
So I have nothing to do with that.
Interesting.
The revision to that is that if the Chinese government contacts Microsoft or any other government,
yeah,
it contacts Microsoft within the scope of saying, hey, this is against whatever
laws
in our country, the offending post will be removed. Not the offending blog.
So even if I blogged about something about the Chinese government?
No. If you blog as a citizen of China on the Chinese version of MSN Spaces.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but our employee blogging, employees have a handbook. You know, forever, you know, employees at Microsoft have been going to conferences, you know, meeting with friends, and they're faced every day with, you know, how do I handle confidential information?
Are you under NDA?
Exactly.
Yeah. I've had these discussions
yeah.
with Ponzi.
And so, the whole thing is that, you know, blogging is no different than that. It's just another great way for technology for us to connect with customers.
Why do you think it is that, well, number one, that Microsoft has not put the kibosh on it. Number two, why a lot of Microsoft employees have gotten into it. And number three, why other companies haven't.
Okay.
So there's the three-pronged thing.
Great.
Well, they're all related.
They're all related. Why does it work for Microsoft? We're a technology company. Blogging's technology. It's a natural way to connect out to customers. At the end of the day, it's a really great way. I think back to PDC 2003. I think that was one of the landmark days for blogging. That was a lot of people said it was like the Longhorn PDC. Mm-hmm. It was a major coming out for PDC. That was when blogging was really, really, really got rolling. And when it was after that, we decided to do Channel 9. And what happened was before that, you know, whenever you wanted to talk to a Microsoft employee, I think from the press, or to get those words out, you'd have the different PR agencies and so forth there. And what happened at PDC is people were blogging. And I remember going through the blogs with Len Pryor, who I used to work with after the PDC. And I read a post where someone goes, hey, you know, I went down to the PDC. It was great. I met, you know, Chris Anderson. You know, he's a great guy. I met this other person. They're you know, they're really nice people. And people started subscribing to our blogs, and they started learning about not just the people as technologists, that, hey, these people have families. Hey, these people have homes. They're, you know, hey, they... Oh, my God, somebody said, they like building software, too, just like me. And I'm like, I work for the largest software
yeah.
company in the world. And,
naturally.
And you're surprised that we like building software. So Len and I said, you know, what if we could have a PDC every day of the week? And we felt that, hey, we can do it through video. So, you know, blogging is just a great way to get that voice out. If you look at the IE team blog, what do you see from the IE team blog? You see a bunch of people that really, really like building a great browser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dean, when he spoke at GnomeDex, you know, was pretty obvious to me that he likes RSS.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He wants to build a great browser. And I think blogging is just a great way that you don't have to wait for an event to meet a customer. You can meet them every day and then get a word. Me, when I want to hire, when I'm hiring right now on my team. If you go to my blog and search for hiring, I have some open positions.
What are you hiring for?
I have one more developer position, and it's to join my team that builds MicrosoftGadgets.com. So I have two positions that I'm hiring for. The first one is another developer. We are building a lot of Ajax-y, you know, Web 2.0 type stuff using ASP.NET, SQL Server, but some amazing web experiences. So if you want to build on a team that's going to ship every day code on my team goes out publicly and build websites that, you know, that touch millions of people, and like to move fast in a very tight team. My team runs like a small little startup within the company. That's kind of the position. The developers on my team totally affect the feature set that we build. You know, we don't have like product management that decides. We go, hey, what would make a really cool community? And we go build it in a short period of time. The second position that I'm hiring is I need somebody to help. As my team's gotten bigger and bigger, I need somebody to help kind of be a like more program management, you know, really hype driving a number of the different projects that we have going on my team, keep the trains running on time, making sure that we're being as efficient and fast moving as we can and not stepping on people's toes. We have a number of different sites now that we're running, and for the most part, we've had developers. We've had evangelists like Scoble, the people that do the message. We need somebody that kind of tends to the gardens a little bit. That was my job a little bit before, and I'm not able to do it as much as I could before.
Is there something then that's taking your attention away?
No, it's just more sites, more things. There's some new things that I'm working on right now.
Of course, yeah.
And I'm driving a lot more of that stuff, too.
Yeah, it's funny. With NDAs, Ponzi got sick and tired of me. What's this NDA? I'm your fiance. You can tell me. Blah, blah, blah. What am I going to do? No, I can't tell you. So she's slam. And then the next day, hey, hun, what's for dinner? It's under NDA. So that's what I get now. If she doesn't want to, it's under NDA.
That's a good one.
And she's never signed an. I mean, I sign them like, I've got about 27 or 28 NDAs with Microsoft at this point. I don't know anything.
Live streaming of The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media and Limelight Networks. Download Windows Media Player 10 to listen to The Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, GMT-8.